Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today with an around-the-globe conversation. As I'm enjoying summer in Vancouver, and the voice you'll hear in a moment is Kyle Wilby, who may or may not be enjoying winter in New Zealand. Kyle, I understand it's a little bit cold there, but probably not bad by relative standards.
Yeah, not too bad. Just a nice, probably 10 degrees today, so not like the Canadian winters whatsoever.
No, and it sounds like you're quite accustomed to them, having come from here, but then also globetrotted quite a bit over the course of your career so far.
Yeah, I grew up in Saskatchewan in Canada, so we had some nice minus 40, minus 50 days. But the last 6 years, I worked in Qatar in the Middle East, and so the opposite side, and had some good plus 40, plus 50 days. So I thought maybe New Zealand is a good kind of medium those two.
Yeah, brilliant. And before we get too far into it, I should alert people listening that we are talking today because you have a paper coming out in the October 2019 issue of Medical Education entitled Assessor's Interpretation of Narrative Data for Communication Skills from a Summative OSCE. And I understand congratulations are in order because if I got everything correctly, you're assistant professor and associate dean of the undergraduate pharmacy program at the University of Otago, but also less than 2 weeks newly minted as a PhD.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just completed the PhD from Maastricht University in the Netherlands, and nice to have all of the studies under my belt now, and looking forward to hopefully moving this research forward with my professor position.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Congratulations. And this paper is the final component of your dissertation. So maybe I'll just start by asking you if you could give us a little overview of the general theme of your dissertation as a whole.
Sure. My dissertation largely started because when I lived in Qatar, I found it really interesting as I began to start to design and evaluate OSCEs, looking at the differences between assessors. In particular, one question that came to mind was cultural differences between assessors. And although that kind of started my dissertation, things kind of moved onward from there. And we started to try to find ways to account for differences between assessors, thinking that they might, instead of being error, be more valid interpretations or idiosyncrasies that assessors have that are reflective of their own interpretations of performance. And so that brought us into the world of narrative comments, which there's quite a bit of research out there from workplace-based assessment, but really nothing aside from a couple studies looking at feedback in OSCEs. And as we studied narrative in OSCEs, we looked at it from a few different perspectives. In particular, we looked at it from what assessors write down in terms of how they actually communicate their observations. We did a G-theory study where we actually looked at reliability of scoring of narrative versus, say, scoring during direct observation. Then finally, this study is moving forward to now interpretation of that narrative data. And if assessors are asked to write comments, then other assessors are going to be asked to read and interpret those comments. And so we looked at how assessors do this and how they actually process that performance information that's embedded within that narrative.
And in your context with the OSCEs that you've been working on, what sort of instances would lead one assessor to need to interpret the comments of somebody else?
So this all occurred in Qatar, and we have a summative OSCE, which is an exit from degree OSCE. It's cumulative to the program. So it's more of a high-stakes OSCE where we do base our pass-fail decisions, or we did base our pass-fail decisions on scores, but we did find a lot of variability in scores. And so with that, we wanted to come up with more data in order to hopefully make a more robust pass-fail decision. And so if we have, say, a 6 to 10 station OSCE and we have narrative comments written for each station, then those comments would need to be aggregated together and then interpreted as a whole by, say, a clinical competency committee or, you know, a group of evaluators that are actually in charge of making that pass-fail decision.
It's a very interesting line of study that does seem to be burgeoning right now in terms of the broader theme. I think we often make the mistake of treating numbers as being objective reflections of how somebody's performed, and people often similarly look to the narrative or the words as a way of truly understanding the performance in a way that gets one a bit deeper into the actual behavior and successes or struggles. What was the first hint you had that even the narrative wasn't used in a consistent manner?
From our first few studies we did, we looked at the narrative, I guess, from a couple different ways and found that assessors tend to write about different things. So narratives aren't necessarily consistent if you have two assessors for a station, right? Both write narrative comments about the same performance. And so that was interesting because, again, we know from when people score, they, you know, they process performance information differently, which results in different scores. But we were looking at, you know, what do they write down, and their observations did appear to be different. And then their interpretations of those observations, meaning things that they focused on or placed value on, were quite different. And so that led us to think, well, we don't see that necessarily as error, and we need to capture that information. And so by actually aggregating data across different stations written by different assessors who might have different opinions, maybe we can get more into a line of saturation rather than looking at each station specifically, and to look for patterns between assessors and how they write narrative comments. So for instance, if assessors are focusing on the theme of aggression or the theme of poor attitude or interrupting the patient, for instance, in a patient interaction, comes up consistently throughout a number of different narratives, and that might be something to pull out to assess against pass-fail decisions or even for remediation of students. And so that led to this study, which was, you know, before we can actually get to that point of those assessors who are going to make those judgments, before we can actually understand how they arrive at those judgments, we need to figure out how they process this performance information that might be coming from assessors with varying backgrounds and actually writing comments that are somewhat different to one another. And so that's where this aggregated data came in, and this study was meant to look at how those assessors process that performance information.
That alone is an interesting question in terms of if you're trying to capture how somebody's mentally processing things, that's not necessarily easy to infer. I know you use think aloud protocols. You presented these aggregated narratives and had people, you know, talk as they read through them. How did you ensure the rigor with which interpretations were drawn from those sorts of data?
Right. And yeah, you're right. It's definitely not easy to necessarily target how somebody thinks. First thing we did was really try to figure out what method would work best. So the literature, a lot of people do post interviews in terms of if they read narrative comments, what do they aggregate in narrative comments, you know, how do they interpret them after they read them, and what sort of things do they focus on. But we really wanted to get down to how assessors actually process that performance information. And so we thought about Think Aloud, which, although it has its limitations, but is known to hopefully achieve that in terms of really trying to pinpoint assessors' processing. And so the first thing we did was do a pilot, and we took a few different assessors and we ran the protocol with them. And it became quite evident very clearly that we were capturing the data that we were hoping to capture. So things like how they were interpreting specific comments. For instance, a lot of them would get stuck on the same comment and have different interpretations of that and talk about maybe why they had different interpretations of that. And so that was quite rich information that we were hoping to capture. What we also liked about the protocol is we didn't have to use a lot of prompting. So prompting was built into the protocol, but it seemed that as assessors were going, they were reading the comments and interpreting them as they went. And so there was not a lot of investigator prompting or investigator questions that occurred, which we thought was then, okay, maybe more of a reflection of how these assessors are actually going to approach and go through this data.
And that obviously allowed a very rich data set in terms of the amount of information you must have had and the opportunity to hear them talk through 9 separate aggregated narratives. Recognizing that we don't have time to go through every bit of your results, can you tell us what you found most surprising or most interesting from the listening that you did?
Yeah, so this study, as I said before, it was my final study, my dissertation, and I felt that everything kind of came together in this study because it was quite interesting how when we did the analysis, which we were basically just doing a simple thematic analysis, we started to really see these patterns come out in terms of the assessors' perspectives. So our results are somewhat separated into two aspects. One is strategies assessors seem to use in terms of how they process this performance information. And then the second one is these perspectives that they bring to the data, or maybe what mind frame they bring to these comments. And that was very interesting for me because it really tied in with practical implications. For instance, so we constructed 3 different perspectives that assessors bring to this data: a student perspective, a professional practice perspective, or the examiner perspective. And what we mean by that is if an assessor had brought the student perspective to the data, they might have more empathy for the student. So if the comment was something like, student fiddled with Ben, was anxious, they may say something to the fact, well, that's okay, it's an exam setting, so I won't, you know, punish a student for that or think poorly of the student for doing that. And that would be in quite contrast with the professional practice perspective, who with the same comment might be saying, oh, well, that's not appropriate. The patient, you know, would lose trust with the student. And so I would see that as a negative behavior. And then the examiner perspective was really assessors who were trying to put themselves into the shoes of the examiner who wrote the comments and were very critical of those comments. So, for instance, if a comment said something like, didn't use pictograms to convey the message to the patient with a language barrier, that assessor with the examiner perspective might say something like, you know, I see that the examiner sees this as negative, but I actually see that as a positive thing because maybe they were able to use sign language or do it without the pictograms. And this became quite clear as we moved through the data. And although we didn't capture judgment because we were solely looking at processing for this study, we think that that could influence how one would grade or make a pass-fail decision, especially the differences between the student and professional practice perspectives.
Yeah, that opens up any number of interesting implications. Were you able to get any sense from these data as to what might have pushed the examiners into one perspective or another?
It's an interesting question. I think there's maybe two components to that. One is we struggled a lot with whether or not we could label an assessor as a definite student perspective, for instance, versus examiner perspective. And it seemed that although they had a dominant perspective, they did at times cross over. And so I think that's something yet to look at a little bit more. But even if they have a dominant perspective, when we look back at the assessor characteristics, it did appear, although we can't, you know, formalize this with anything substantial, but those with a lot of practice experience, for instance, might take on more of the professional practice perspective. But that's just a bit of a hypothesis and something that we need to study a bit further.
Yeah. So again, it raises likely another PhD worth of possible studies that would be worth conducting, presuming that you're not going to do yet another PhD. What do you think is the highest priority for the field moving forward from these results?
I think that the greatest implication here is that when we have rich data being reviewed or assessed by people who were not present, for instance, like a clinical competency committee, people that review rich data, whether it's narrative comments or data emerging from other sources, I think this study shows that when people especially review narrative data, these perspectives could influence how they make a judgment. And so I think the first thing that needs to happen is to determine the extent that is going to happen. So do we have variability now at this level as well in the mixture of a clinical competency committee when reviewing narrative comments? And if so, then how do we account for that? And so I guess that's what I would say would be the most priority, is to start to look at how it influences judgment. And then also, based on that, how we can account for variability at what I think is a different level than how we look at between assessor variability at the moment.
Very interesting, and congratulations again. It's nice not only to have such an important piece of work, but to have some clear direction in terms of where else it might go. The details, again, we have skimmed over many, but those who are interested can find the paper that we've been discussing in the October 2019 issue of Medical Education, entitled Assessors' Interpretation of Narrative Data for Communication Skills from a Summative OSCE. And Kyle Wilby is the first author. And thank you once more, Kyle, for taking all the time to chat with me today.
Thank you very much.